This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus of release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty, toasty, and crispy 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Lisa and Jeremy? Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
Oh, yeah, I can feel it, Lou.
Can you really? Can you describe the feeling that you get from it?
It's a warm, tingly sensation that starts on my toes and ends up somewhere in the kidney area. I'm not exactly sure why, but I'm just going to go with it.
Okay, yep, you got it. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So I haven't spoken to you in a while, Jeremy. What have you been up to? What's going on? What's happening with Seeds of Liberty?
Well, apparently our audio quality has gone down. We got yelled at a lot on our last episode about that.
Was Michael a guest?
No, Michael is going to be a guest, though. I think we have him scheduled for our 50th episode, which comes up in a couple of weeks. I was not the one to ask him. I hope he doesn't hold that against me.
Well, who's yelling about audio quality? Because he's usually the audio German soldier with a funny armband.
Somebody who I actually know through Facebook, but I don't think he had listened to the podcast before, kind of stumbled across it a couple days ago and said something. And then a Fiend fan actually wrote to Michael and asked him to help us. I don't know if he realized that I was one of the hosts of that podcast, but so it got passed through Michael to me, and now we have to work on that. Apparently, somebody's coming in a lot louder. I have a feeling it's me. But I have a booming voice. I can't really control that all the time. You know?
So did Michael call you into, like, the office over in Casper, Wyoming, and say, look, you guys need to get your audio quality on the side project working properly?
Yes. He doesn't want it to reflect badly on the Fiend. So I just blame it all on my buddy Danilo, because it's his fault that we can't use Fiend phone for the Seeds of Liberty. So I just say everything that goes wrong, I just blame it on him. Once I get him over his Mac addiction, we can finally probably do something about that.
Great. Well, I really appreciate the way that you're blaming other people. So how long have you been in office?
A couple of years now. I've gotten really good at it, too.
Okay. So, and Lisa, what's going on in your world? What's new and exciting with you?
Like I don't know.
All right, come on. You gotta have something more than laughter. You gotta have a real answer in there.
I'm in Narnia right now, and it's awesome.
Explain Narnia to people.
There's just a lot of snow and trees and not a lot else, but it's pretty and it's peaceful.
Okay, you got. All right, I guess that's enough of the warm up stuff. You got a story here, Lisa. Let us now pray, man.
Yeah, Nick Gillespie wrote this for the Daily Beast.
Also pronounced Gillespie.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
Sweet. Yeah, the microphone.
The article is about how party identification is at an all-time low. According to a recent poll, only 29% of us are willing to admit to being Democrats, and 26% cop to being Republican. But something that I did not know until I read this article was that Jeb Bush is now Jeb with an exclamation point after his name. So someone came up with this, I guess, campaign strategy, or should I say strategery for him. So in the article, it says that his stylized, unintentionally hilarious exclamation point must have been suggested by someone who either knows him very well or hates him very much. So I find it hilarious. And I had to go to his website, which is embarrassing, but I had to see it for myself. And sure enough, it's Jeb with an exclamation point.
Now, does his website still point to DonaldTrump.com?
I don't know, because I didn't use that URL. I just searched Jeb with an exclamation point, and it came up.
Oh, God.
And I quickly cleared my browser history.
You know what? That's not good enough. You may have to burn your hard drive after that.
I might need to. Yeah, it's probably... a good idea.
Definitely needs to be flushed out.
Well, he's been using that marketing campaign for a while, right? That's his way to kind of distance himself from his family, I guess, or at least attempt to. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I heard about it.
I don't really know. I saw an article the other day, and I shared it. I guess if you go to JebBush.com, the story was that the campaign had failed to renew the URL or something like that, and if you went to JebBush.com, it would redirect to DonaldTrump.com. So I don't know if Jeb was using a different website prior to that, or I don't know. I have no idea what was going on. All I know is if you went to JebBush.com, it would go to DonaldTrump.com, and that's like two websites I don't ever want to go to.
Yeah, I only went to I went to the Trump website once, and that was only because somebody told me at one point he literally only had one talking point on there, and that's what he was trying to go with. And I said, all right, I have to see this. It can't really be that. But sure enough, at that point it was the immigration thing, and that was the only thing he had on there.
Make immigration great again.
Hey, now he's making fascism great again. Get it right, Luke.
Well, with his economic policies and wanting to do like 35% tariffs, I think he wants to make Smoot Hawley great again. And maybe make depressions great again, too.
Yeah.
But he wants to build a pretty wall between us and Mexico, is what I read today.
Well, he's wanted to do that for a while.
But he said a beautiful wall.
Oh, now it's beautiful?
A beautiful wall.
All right, before it was just a wall, but now it's a beautiful wall.
Yep.
So what, cool. you stick some flowers and some paintings on the barbed wire and it makes it beautiful? I mean, I don't know. How do you beautify that?
He's probably going to get them to do it since they're going to build it.
Well, it's probably going to be marble pillars in there every once in a while. And, you know, maybe some beautiful lattice with some ivy growing through there.
There you go.
Probably gaudy purple and gold decorations like in his casinos.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be some fancy purple and gold curtains. It's going to be wonderful.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I've heard him say before something of the effect of having the Mexicans build it. But you got to figure he wants it because he's going to find a way to get one of his construction companies to do it. And
Whenever I hear that Mexico is going to pick up the tab for that, I always get a really good laugh out of it because you seriously have to be some kind of a window-looking R-word to actually believe that sort of nonsense. A Trump supporter that's dumb enough to believe that is also dumb enough to be a Bernie supporter. Not that there's a heck of a lot of difference between Trump and Bernie. And essentially, it's telling two lies and letting people argue over which one of those lies is true.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is funny, though. Most people point to that, the wall thing, and they go, well, they did it on the south border. Well, sure they did. They don't want anybody coming in. There's not too many, quote-unquote, Americans trying to go into Mexico to stay there, so they have no incentive to build a border to the north. Why would they do that?
Well, actually, there are a fair amount of Americans that go down there, and they snowbird for the winter, and the number of people that are leaving the USSA to go live in Mexico is actually on the rise, so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they'll get to a point to where they decide that they do have to do that.
That's possible.
So, but this election season has just been really horrible. And when I look at the candidates, because you got Hillary and Bernie, and then the other guy who dropped out on the Democrat side, I don't even know his name, Malloy, Mallory, O'Malley. I don't know.
O'Malley, I think.
Yeah.
Was that his
name? the guy that dropped out and still beat Vermin Supreme even after he dropped out.
That was O'Malley from Maryland?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. I guess he was a governor somewhere. But anyway, so you got that cluster bleep over on the Democrat side. And then the Republicans are just an absolute Schumer show. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. You've got every flavor of crazy over there. You got Trump, the brown shirt. You got Rubio, the red shirt. Yeah, it's... You got Ben Carson, the straight jacket instead of a shirt. Chris Christie dropped out with a major thud, and I was glad to get rid of him because he's just an absolute lunatic. every last one of them is like a hardcore authoritarian Soviet commissar type. And the only one that even did any type of, I don't know, paying lip service to the ideas of liberty was Rand Paul, and he dropped out. But the good news is I've heard that he's already sold out for the 2020 election season, too.
Excellent.
Yeah. Great. So yeah. When I look at this election and just life in general, it's like Idiocracy. It started off as a comedy and wound up being a documentary. And I saw a meme the other day that says that this is America's final season, and the writers are just going nuts.
Yeah, I just saw that one today.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It sounds about right, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I say this all the time. I want to be surprised, but I shouldn't be, because people keep falling for the same stuff over and over and over again. But like you're saying, like, how could you look at this field and say, okay, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for the lesser of two evils? Like, where is there less evil? Where? Maybe Carson, only because he's a complete moron. Maybe there's no actual evil there, because I don't think he really knows what he's doing. I think he just kind of got shoved out there by people who said, hey, you can be the president.
It's the evil of two lessers, or a bunch of lessers, I should say. Yeah, Ben Carson, he's like, you know, I'm pretty good at the surgery stuff. I don't know anything about running a country, though. And they're like, yeah, go ahead. We need a black guy out there. So head on out and you know, make the Republican Party proud by sounding like an authoritarian Democrat.
Yes.
Was there any other good stuff in that article that you were looking at earlier, Lisa?
Yeah, there was actually a quote, but I gotta find it. Hang on a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Someone prepared.
Oh.
Well, she had no idea that I was gonna redirect to her on that, but anyway.
Okay, so in the article they say that, of course, Sanders has no realistic way of paying for any of his new spending. He just waves away the bill for such new spending, suggesting that one way or another, he'll get the 1% to pay for it. Nobody buys that, of course.
And then there's Trump, whose likelihood of actually winning the GOP nomination increases with each horrible thing he seems to say. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and I'm joined by Jeremy and Lisa. And Lisa, you have an article talking about brainwashing, and that's quite fitting since we were talking about the political campaigns in the upcoming elections in the last segment. So what sort of stuff have you learned about brainwashing today?
Well, the article is called Five Brainwashing Tricks That Work No Matter How Smart You Are. So apparently, you know, the belief is that we all can fall prey to this, to these flaws. And I like the opening lead to the article. It says, why is it so easy for evil and stupid movements to find followers, including intelligent, well-educated ones? Which is something I've always wondered about. I have, you know, friends and family members who are otherwise very intelligent, I think, but
But they vote.
Yeah, they vote, and they believe all the rhetoric they're hearing, and Trump's going to make America great again, and Bernie Sanders is going to make everything free because he's got to grow a money tree somewhere. I don't know. But, yeah, so it's about the reasons that people fall, for bull, pretty much.
Jeremy, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, well, I mean, I read it earlier. What should be common sense stuff, but unfortunately it's not. But it's a lot about, confirmation bias and how people get, you get stuck in these positions where once you think you know something, you think it's right, so you don't bother to investigate further, and somebody brings you new evidence, and you're like, no, I already got that covered. And it also seems a lot. I boiled down a lot of it to just being the kind of the bandwagon fallacy, where people just kind of fall into things almost like a popularity contest, where their friends or the people close to them all think one way about one thing, and it's almost like you don't want to feel stupid for saying that you feel differently, so you kind of just go along with the flow. One of the examples they had later in the article was like somebody who becomes friends with, say, like a group of neo-Nazis, but for some reason, they don't realize that at the time. And, a couple months go by and it's like, oh, you hate the Jews, right? You're kind of with us on that. And it's, at that point, you're kind of invested, and it's almost like, yeah, of course I hate them. They're horrible people. Like, you have no idea why, but now you're in this group, and you don't want to seem like the outcast, whether you just want to keep fitting in, and then you kind of almost force yourself to believe it, I guess, and that's where a lot of this comes from.
Right. They seek out information that already suits their worldview and the view of their peers, rather than investigating independently, and instead of looking for information that might contradict what they already believe to kind of test their theories. Mm-hmm. They want things that are already confirmed, because people don't like to be wrong. They want to be proven right.
Sure. Yeah, it's a scary proposition to say you don't know something a lot of times. Although it's an answer more people myself included. I'm not going to exclude myself from that, but it's an answer more people should be willing to give more often, rather than grasping and thinking they know something, whether they actually have information or not.
Well, to be completely honest, I am a recovering statist. I am a recovering hardcore neocon statist. I wasn't even a constitutionalist. I was more of a, maybe government just needs to do what it needs to do so that it can get done. And, the Constitution is a nice little guideline, but, sometimes the government just needs a little bit more latitude. I went from from being that type of bootlicker to somebody who actually appreciates freedom and has learned about how all this, what would you call it? Nationalist security is all just nonsense. It's all just theater. TSA it's a joke, and the whole thing's a joke. But there's people out there that swear up and down that that all this stuff is real. If it wasn't for the troops, Obama would take away all the rest of our freedom. But the troops that take his orders are standing in between him and full blown tyranny. So, yeah, but anyway, if we look at that, because we've held positions, or we thought that we knew things, but through further investigation or further exploration of ourselves and our hearts and minds, we realized that what we thought we knew, what we thought we believed, wasn't actually true, or what we believed was not actually indicative of the type of person that we are. So we'll finish that thought when we come back on the other side of this. More Freedom Fiends coming up.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Thank you.
are back. And what is it you don't want to take, Jeremy? And why?
That prednisone stuff, because I don't want to end up with Michael's condition. That sounds itchy and irritating.
You got a problem with bungus fungus?
No, but I might if I have to take prednisone.
But it'll give us so much to talk about.
We're going to be adding to the MWD, hashtag MWD colon.
Can't you take one for the team?
Yeah, okay. I'll be the next walking experiment. There we go.
Yeah, team colon.
There you go.
Team fungus.
All right. Team bungus fungus.
Team bungus fungus.
Team All right, colon
that hashtag
fungus.
Might start okay. trending soon.
All right.
I'm not
hey,
making
this
any
is
promises,
a,
but
this is a Freedom Fiends. It is a teaching hospice. So, all right, let's get back into this article here with all the craziness, and I think this one that you're going to read off here, Lisa, I think that's quite applicable to the conversation so far today, and you know, plus what we complain about on a regular basis here on the Fiends. So, go ahead.
Yeah, right. So back to that article. It's been pointed out here that in order to be a perfect member of a political party, you have to adopt a bunch of totally random and often contradictory ideas. That's because most of us, well, not us, but most people adopt opinions that will help them fit in with their tribe or their group of people that they're, you know, associating with. And the truth is that most people probably don't know much at all about subjects like taxation and foreign policy and things like that. And it's not that people are just ignorant. They're ignorant about things that they say are the most important to them. But they don't take the time to do any research on their own. They just kind of go with what everybody else is saying. That herd mentality again.
It's not that they're ignorant. It's just that they really don't know what they're talking about.
It's another way to put it. In fact, it's been said that it only takes a minority of about 5% of people to influence a crowd's direction, and the other 95% just follows without even really realizing they're doing it. They're just kind of going along with what everybody else is saying or doing.
Well, sure. That's why I promote the non-compliance ideas that I do, because that's all it would really take. You know, people say, oh, you have to get, you know, 50% or more of the population on your side, and people would have to agree with you. No, you don't. Most people are natural followers. The majority of people don't seem to have like the leader gene inside of them. It's just much easier to go along to get along. So you get that vocal minority that starts stirring the pot, making waves, and most people will just eventually fall in line. Just go, okay, this is the new way we're doing things. That's okay now. That's okay with me.
Yeah, one of the really amazing things is one of the justifications for having government is that people are not naturally cooperative and they're naturally combative. And without government to organize things, everybody would just be telling everybody to go pound sand and to go find themselves and everything else. And it's really quite the opposite, because people don't necessarily look for getting into arguments and they don't look for things to rebel against for the most part. Most people, like you just said, are go along, get along types.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, there's so much wrong with the notion that, you know, we need government because of these bad things, because That's part of that ignorance that Lisa was referring to at the beginning of this, because there's so many contradictions just inherent in, well, the Constitution itself, the idea of government itself, the idea that you can, you know, magically delegate these rights that you don't have to another group of people. Like, you have to be able to accept all of these things to proceed forward. So it's just a lot easier for them once you've already accepted one contradiction, it's easier to accept another. And most people don't want to rock the boat, so
yeah. Or the nonsense that it's theft to take somebody's the product of somebody's labor when they earn it, but it's not theft to take the product of their labor when they spend it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people say the income tax is theft. All the other taxes are just fine, though. Really? You know, a middleman is not the determination of if it's theft or not. the whole idea of theft is based upon, does somebody take what does not belong to them from somebody that it does belong? And I don't care what you scribble down on a magic piece of sheepskin, it doesn't become any less theft just because you call it an enumerated power.
Well, sure. The act doesn't change just because, you know, you put a different name on it. It's still the same. I mean, plenty of people have made the analogy before. Taxation is probably closer to extortion than, I mean, it's still a form of theft, but because if you look up the definition of extortion and then you look up the actions of the tax man, they match. You're told you have to give up a certain percentage of the earnings of the fruits of your labor, or you're threatened with being thrown in a cage or being killed if you resist being thrown in that cage. That's extortion. It's kind of hard to get around that, but
yeah, pretty much.
The amount of mental gymnastics people will go through in order to do so are quite breathtaking, actually, a lot of the times. I'm not mocking them. I like to look back and go, wow, how did you do that?
It's almost funny to watch. I was having this conversation with a guy, and he was talking about how stupid government is, how brutally inefficient it was, and I'm just pointing out all the foolishness that goes along with it. And so one of the things I like to do when somebody talks about how horrible government is say, well, why not just abolish it and not have any? And to watch these people, their necks will snap, and this particular guy says, well, we got to have government because, you know, they're the ones that make things efficient. And I'm like, are you just having words fall into your mouth and then like fall out between your lips? You're saying the opposite of it. It's really ridiculous. He says government's inefficient, but we need government to promote efficiency.
Yeah.
So he literally said efficiency. So, but anyway, all right. So let's get back to the article here, Lisa. What else do you have on the herd mentality?
Well, it's our brains are hardwired in a way that belief often gets precedence over reason and conformity over individual judgment. And that's because our ancestors needed to function that way in order to survive. But now we don't need to do that. Now we actually can critically think. Unfortunately, that's unusual. And so herds are easily manipulated by political leaders, as we know.
All right. I'm going to question that. I don't think that there was ever a time where we needed to believe rhetoric and nonsense over logic and rational stuff.
Oh, I agree with you about that. I think we're talking about way back before any of that existed.
No, it's pretty much logic and reason have always been a good thing, and rhetoric and conformity have never been. So I think about this. If you go back to really primitive times where just moving the wrong way could mean that you wind up dying. You know, your survival depends upon doing things the right way, using logic, using reason, using methods that have been proven to not get gobbled up by a dinosaur if dinosaurs and humans ever lived together at the same time. You know, not to get gobbled up by a woolly mammoth or a saber-toothed rabbit, for that matter.
Saber-toothed. You know?
Because up here in Polar Bear Saskatchewan, we got all sorts of stuff, you know, like the snowshoe eagle. So, but I really don't think this whole, you know, rhetoric and conformity nonsense is going to work, where you do need the logic, reason, and the proven methods to survive. So,
well, I would agree with you that probably wasn't ever necessary, but probably wasn't necessary. People just thought it was, you know, it's the fear thing.
Because when I hear people say, oh, well, you know, maybe at one time, you know, that was necessary, I consider that to be one of those throwaway phrases, kind of like support the troops. I mean, it's absolutely meaningless. There's no substance there. It's just words thrown together in a sense. Now, maybe if there's an explanation that can support it, then quite possibly, but no, it's just words thrown together. It's throwaway nonsense.
Yeah, well, again, that just it's easier for most people to say that because they don't have to think about it. Because I mean, it's one of the most common fallacies that's thrown around. You know, the appeal to antiquity. Well, it's always been around, so there must be a reason it's always been around. Well, why? Most people don't want to get into that why question. They just assume that it's been that way. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it should be. Has to be. Whatever. It doesn't matter where they land on that. They just they don't want to bother questioning any further. And that's why, the article is focused on fear on one of the numbers, which I always say is a big driving force in everything.
Yeah.
People are afraid of what could happen if their lives aren't controlled. People are afraid to even consider the possibility that they might be wrong about something, even more so that they might be wrong about everything. So fear just drives everything. And that leads back to the political stuff.
I don't think that people are afraid to be wrong about things because there's plenty of people that go around quoting Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, and all the others. As a matter of fact, if you ask them what their opinion is on a particular subject, they'll say, I have no idea right now, but after I listen to my radio shows, I'll be more than happy to tell you what I believe way down deep in my heart. And they will let you know. So, Lisa, what do we have next that I can argue with or not argue with?
Well, I was going to say, I think people, when we say that people are afraid to be wrong, it's not necessarily wrong. It's they don't want to be different than their peers, you know, their crowd. They don't want to be the one that stands out. I mean, it took me some time to get used to that. One of the first things I started hearing when I was still a big L libertarian was taxation and was theft. And I thought, what? That's crazy. That's just part of living in this country. You know, you pay taxes because it supports all the things that we need. And it took me a little while to say, wait a minute, you know what? This is true. But I wasn't afraid of being an outcast. I was always used to being the one that had the crazy ideas. So, but for a lot of people, you know, they want to fit in, and they're afraid to kind of like rustle things up and be the different one.
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, that's part of what's beaten into kids at school. Mm-hmm. That's where the bully mentality comes from, and that's where people are taught to not be different.
And we'll be right back after this trip to the market.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Sounds like the gene pool could use a shot of chlorine and a filter change.
Yeah, right? People will just say anything to anybody, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Some people are just fueled by vinegar and water and just really horrible people. But anyway, all right, so let's get back to this article. Lisa, you have a section come up, which I find very interesting, and I've noticed this, I've commented on it a lot, and maybe a little bit on the show, but it's something that I notice in real life quite a bit. So what do we got here?
Oh, that people define themselves by what they hate?
Yes.
You mean? Oh, yes. Really? You noticed that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. People are constantly talking about what they are against, but you rarely know what they're actually for.
Yeah, this one article says that people, you might not know what you want to be when you grow up, but you sure as heck know what you don't want to be. So a lot of people just are trying to avoid something rather than working towards something.
I'm going to plead partially guilty to that because I know that I don't want to be like a cop or a soldier when I grow up. Well, I've already been a soldier. But there's a lot of things that I don't want to be when I grow up. I have absolutely no idea what I want to be when I finally grow up.
you don't have to.
I want to be in regular clothing instead of diapers. So I don't know. Is that me focusing on what I hate?
I think it might be.
one of the things I've noticed is, and it goes along with this here, it's not specifically the hate thing, but people have a tendency to notice things. They notice the exception and not the regular thing. And as an example, Ron Paul, who is our favorite all-time favorite government thug here on the Freedom Fiends, people always talk about him being in Congress. And so you got him and maybe like four others, if you want to be generous, that are, I don't know, slightly less slave masterish or kinder, gentler slave masters, whatever. So you got five that are okay, but you got 430 that are absolutely horrible. And everybody pays attention, or the people that are talking about, hey, we can fix government, we can change it from the inside, herder. they'll point at Ron Paul, but yeah, you still got 430 other people that, you know, it's not going to happen because, well, they're like hardcore government thugs. They're not our favorite government thugs. They're the bad government thugs. So,
yeah.
Look at the fears that people have. Very few people are actually afraid of getting in a car accident driving to work. You know, if they're on a 20 to 25 to 50 mile drive each day, very few people have any concerns about getting in a car accident. I mean, unless the weather is really bad. But how many of those people freak out over the idea of going in the ocean and being gobbled up by a shark? How many of them are afraid of being killed by an Al Qaeda terrorist doing a, you know, letting off a suicide bomb vest in a shopping mall?
Yeah,
here in America. And it's just absolute lunacy for people to get all bent out of shape over these things that are not going to happen. So
yeah, well, so. the one thing from that article about that fear part that I found really funny but true is what they're saying about how most people project their fears rather, or what they don't like rather, versus what they do like, was the Nickelback example. Most people you may have no idea what music they actually do like, but you could be darn sure that they hate Nickelback because they'll tell you every 5 seconds how horrible Nickelback is. And that, I will admit, I am fully guilty of, because I have made that statement on more than one occasion.
Okay, how did Nickelback get, how'd they fall in this horrible category? Because there's a few of their songs, and I'm not like the super expert on there, but they got a few songs that aren't too bad.
No, in full disclosure, I think I do actually own one of their albums, and a couple of them more rockin' tunes weren't bad. I don't know how they got that name. They just became an easy punching bag, because Chad Kroeger looks kind of silly sometimes. I don't know. There's some pictures of him that I don't know if he thinks he's Jesus or they just tried to capture him looking like Jesus or something. I don't know.
Sometimes I think that Nickelback got the Beavis and Butthead winger treatment.
It's quite possible.
You remember how Beavis and Butthead always made fun of Winger and a couple other of the 80s hair bands? And,
yes.
And next thing you know, they have no career. And matter of fact, all that 80s hair metal or late 80s, early 90s hair metal stuff, it all died. It got replaced by Nirvana.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Anyway, we'll be back in the second hour. Maybe we'll keep talking about this. Maybe we'll find something new to ramble about. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCON no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCON.org. And this is Lou. I am joined by Jeremy and Lisa. Welcome back to the second hour.
Yep, we're here.
Yeah.
And before we go back into this article, it's an article, maybe a couple of articles. But anyway, Michael had asked me to cover a little something on here. So,
okay.
I guess there's a T-shirt that's been made up. And it says, "Hate cops? Next time you need help, call a crackhead. He will respond quicker. He will work cheaper. He won't kill your relative if they're suicidal or having an episode of some kind. He won't kill your dog unless your dog steals the crack. And as long as he knows you're the one with the crack, he won't arrest or kill you either. Crackheads, providing superior customer service since the release of New Jack City. Call Pookie for further information."
That was my favorite part about the call Pookie.
Yeah. Who's Pookie?
That was Chris Rock's character.
Oh. Did you not see New Jack City?
I didn't.
Okay. Oh,
classic.
I don't know why. Yeah. So, and the reason of that T-shirt, that poster, whatever it is because... You know, the statists always say, well, next time you're in trouble, don't call a cop, call a crackhead. Well, why not both? I've got an article here. Ex-Platteville cop busted again on crack cocaine allegations. Again. Yeah, so there was a cop that got arrested for smoking crack on the job multiple times. So, you know. Next time you need help, call a cop or a crackhead or just, you know, why not both?
Just call that guy.
Yeah. Actually, it's a woman.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I think that shirt, because I saw that post, I think that might actually be in retaliation for a shirt that the cops put out a while ago. I remember seeing a lot of those police Facebook pages, like the ones, you know, the fans of the police promoting a shirt that basically said the opposite of that last year, making fun of the fact that you should call a crackhead. You know, you should call a crackhead if you're not going to call us. So that might have just been retaliation.
Well, it could be. Or, you know,
I'm going to say it's false. I agree with it 100%.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe this shirt was made up for in retaliation for the cop one that says we get up early to beat the crowds. But anyway, a former Platteville police officer who is facing a federal drug charge for allegedly smoking crack cocaine while on duty has been arrested again. This time after crack, heroin, and a kit for defeating drug tests were found in her car by police in the Milwaukee area. Michelle V. Salentine, 29, of Muskego, who was charged with keeping a drug house after her arrest in April, was arrested on October 4th in Greenfield after police discovered her and her brother, Michael Salentine, arguing in a car. While searching the car, according to a report by U.S. Probation Services Officer Clark Rogers, police officers found five crack pipes, a marijuana pipe, a syringe, 1.6 grams of crack cocaine, about one-third of a gram of heroin, and 1.21 grams of marijuana. Police found a kit in the trunk of the car that was designed to help a woman beat drug tests. So, wow.
Whoa.
There's your war on drugs, everybody. Yay! So, next time you need help, don't call a cop, call a crackhead. Or call a cop that is a crackhead. But anyway, all right, so let's get off of that silliness and get back to the article. And Lisa, what was the article that we've been talking about for most of the first hour and going into the second hour?
Oh, it's called Five Brainwashing Tricks That Will Work No Matter How Smart You Are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there was a video. You guys have both seen it. I haven't seen it yet because I took my Katzenapin in between work and the show tonight, or tried to take a Katzenapin. So anyway, Let's hear about this video, because I haven't seen it yet, but you guys have.
Okay, the video is called This Video Will Make You Angry. And the creator of the video uses a really interesting analogy to kind of explain how ideas become infectious, especially in the age of the internet. And he calls them thought germs. And he talks about how, you know, they kind of... anger in particular, any kind of negative emotion, kind of bypasses your thought immune system and compels you to keep sharing it. So it spreads like wildfire. And as those germs spread, they mutate, sort of like, you know, bacteria or virus would. He gave the example of a photo of a cat. So, you know, people might Photoshop it along the way, add captions, kind of change it, change the story that's associated with it. And they keep sharing it, and it keeps spreading. And the more it spreads, the more it spreads. And the changes can become more distorted and more aggravating. And then if an opposing thought germ appears, the argument, you know, between the two thoughts will escalate, and it becomes a never-ending rage storm. And that rage storm can make the thought germ spread even more. So the point he's getting at is that there's kind of this you're with us or you're against us mentality that erupts from these kind of these thought rage storms. And of course, I think you know where I'm going with this. Each group breeds the thought germs against the other. Kind of, you know, reminds you of the whole left-right paradigm. You're either with us or you're against us. Jeremy, you watched the video too, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I found it very interesting. It was a nice little stick figure video. Apparently, they do a lot of they talked about after the fact that they do a lot of these on different topics, but they use the same type of setup. I did find it interesting because it makes sense that, you know, these things would spread. But the one thing I found really interesting about it was the fact that they were trying to make the point that where a lot of people would think like these diametrically opposed opinions, supposedly, like the left-right type of thing, would actually kind of work against each other. They sort of form like this symbiotic relationship. And that's like what you were saying. It helps feed the thing. Where with like the cat picture, eventually they showed how if nobody really puts like an opposing opinion to it, because how do you really put an opposing opinion to a silly cat photo unless you're putting a dog photo, like the dog wants to eat the cat. I mean, other than that, I don't really know how you're going to do that. But eventually that'll die off. Like there'll be it'll get shared, it'll peak, and then it'll just kind of disappear. But something that you can argue about, which in this day and age is just about anything,
right.
You put it up there and you have, you know, you have the one side that starts spreading the idea, and it whether it's right or wrong, it just keeps spreading. And again, the anger thing, if it's something that they're angry about the other side, that'll spread faster than something that they're happy about on their own side. And
right.
Just like you were saying, how it gets... you know, how it just builds and builds and builds. It becomes perverted. It can become perverted like a game of telephone, essentially.
I was thinking that same thing.
Yeah, that's where my thoughts went when I saw that. Because, yeah, that's basically what it is. It's somebody comes up with an idea or posts a meme. And somebody else, another person, you know, just on the same quote-unquote side, will add something to that and say, well, they're horrible because of this. And, oh, yeah, well, they're horrible because of this. And it doesn't matter whether they're putting truth statements out, because most people, because of the confirmation bias that we spoke about earlier, will just latch onto that because they already think they hate this person or this group for whatever reason. So when somebody gives you new information, another reason to hate that group, you're not very likely to check into it. So that just feeds it, and it keeps growing, and then it just becomes more perverted, and there's more anger being tossed around. And then when the other side comes back in and tries to retaliate, they just feed off of each other, and it's just this never-ending loop.
Yeah, I sit back and observe discussions like that, or I should say arguments, actually, online all the time, and I'll kind of just watch things devolve, you know, into the predictable name-calling, the, you know, you're just a liberal or you're just a conservative and, you know, other things that aren't as polite. And I sit here and think, well, and here's me on the outskirts, and, you know, I may jump in with an opinion, and they're trying to put me in one of those boxes, too. And they don't really know what to do with people like us because we don't fit into one of those groups. It's it's very confusing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I frequently hear people say, well, you're either with us or against us. I'm Fien like, well, I'm against you. Don't drag me into this nonsense.
So, I guess somebody's back from the dead.
Locus Interruptus is here.
The locusts are interrupting. This is the Fien Phone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption XNGC System, or furries. Hey, y'all.
Hey, Michael. How you feeling?
Yeah, a little out of breath, but I'm good. So you're talking about memes. Have you guys heard about this lady that tweeted? Okay, she was on an airplane. She was South American, going from America to South America. Not South America, South African. And, you know, it's an 11-hour flight. And when she was sitting in New York waiting to take off, she tweeted, like, making fun of racist people who don't understand Africa. She said, I'm on my way to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding. I'm white. And she's, you know, she really, she was kidding, and she was making fun of racist people. So she gets on this flight, falls asleep the whole flight, and there's no internet on the flight. The 11 hours that she's gone, it goes viral of people, like, wanting to chop off her head. A hashtag is developed, like, has Betsy landed yet? Hashtag, has Betsy landed yet? Like, there were people waiting for her in Windhoek, South Africa at the airport to, like, take a picture of her and confront her at the airport. And she was asleep the whole time. And, like, people were, it was at, like, top of BuzzFeed, top of Reddit. And people were saying, like, nobody's, the world hasn't waited for a landing this much since the first moon shot and things like that. It's pretty funny. She lost her job while she was asleep on the plane. Yeah, I heard what Jeremy said about how, like, you know, the things that irritate people will go viral faster than the things people like. So that's something to keep in mind. I think that's one reason that we could make this thing go viral of, have you guys discussed yet the, if you when you're in trouble, call a crackhead, not a cop.
Yeah, we were just talking about
that. Yeah,
we did just talk about that.
All right, we'll be back. This is Trip to the Market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. The Freedom Fiends now have a free Android app for your phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd. The app is available now from the Google Play Store, from Amazon, and from freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode feature, and so much more. You know, the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world. But when the fiends aren't live, you can also use the app to listen to LRN.fm from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for lip there with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worms.
Yep, yep.
So I just made a new ad for the Fiends Android app, which everyone has an Android phone must go get. Tell us about it, Jeremy.
The Fiend app is a wonderful toy. I play with it every day.
Yeah. It helps brainwash you.
Yeah. Well, I don't really need to be brainwashed. I already was, but I'm going to continue with my brainwashing. It's been very handy for me because Stitcher went down over the weekend. Still really hasn't come back up.
Yeah.
So I've just been listening. Instead of listening to the Fiends and then the Fiend other phone. Shows that I normally Fiend listen phone. To, I've just been listening to the Fiends.
Fiend
and
phone.
All the Fiends.
Fiend phone.
You know, speaking of things going down and things being up, I looked up the address of Twitter today, like on Google Maps in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So I used to live in San Francisco. I'm like, I wonder where they are. And they're like downtown, like between downtown and the financial district, or downtown and the like government district, City Hall on Market Street. The building that they have, that they bought, used to be the welfare department, or the SSI, the Social Security Disability Department, because I used to deliver there as a bike messenger. I'm like, I know that building. I'd go in there, and there'd be all sorts of crazy people who smelled bad talking to themselves on crack. Yeah. So I guess that's good. I guess they're repurposing government buildings for the private sector. All right, so here we go with the new Fiends ad. The other one I did with Sangeeta, the robot lady, some people said it was hard to understand, so I got Nima, and he sent me three takes on it. One was called the normal take, one was called the coffee take, and one was called the blue meth take. And I made a mixture of the blue meth and the coffee takes, and then used this music that he made that's like, it's a hip-hop thing with a sample from, this really cool music because it brings back memories. This is what they used to play in the 70s in my local movie theater before each movie, and they'd have this swirling color psychedelic thing with it, and it was like, whoa, dude. And I think they sampled this in the theme to the Boondocks. It's a similar kind of 70s horn funky thing. So here we go.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Yeah.
Nice.
There it is.
Nice. Yeah. Really nice.
Nima's talented. So
he is.
Yeah. So Cantwell. I've been
No.
Real quick.
Hey, what's going on with Namecoin? What's the latest on Namecoin? I want to know what Namecoin's doing these days.
You're just like waving shiny things in front of a cat, thinking I'll look out the other way.
Yes.
I gave up on Namecoin when the guys who built Namecoin forgot to re-register Namecoin.bit and lost it. I was like, okay, this is doomed. Like, this distributed DNS lost its own name in the distributed DNS. So I just want to say one thing. The reason I'm calling Cantwell's podcast Government Cheese is
what's
because his name
shares?
His name for it, Radical Agenda, sounds like a bad Long Island punk rock band from the 80s. And in the 80s, there were like 9 bad punk rock bands of 30-year-olds who lived with their mother called Government Cheese. Like, everybody, it was a very common name. There were 2 bands called The Beef People, and I was in one of them. But Government Cheese, man, that's Cantwell's podcast. All right. Carry on. You going to talk about crack? Lou?
Yeah, let's talk about that now.
Have a great show. Take care, guys. Bye.
All right, bye. Oh, I thought he was going to talk about crack. Oh.
Well. We can talk about crack.
Yeah, sure. I don't.
not really my thing. Never done it.
Mine either. I don't.
You pussies.
Come on, man. We could add that to our experiments. I mean, we could try that.
Come on. I smoked crack with Martin Lenoble, who was the bass player. He was the bass player in Horner for Pyros and the Cult. Oh, okay. And now he's clean and sober and married to Kelly Bundy. What's the actress's name?
Christina Applegate.
He won. He got to do all the drugs, be on the cover of Rolling Stone, hang out with Michael Dean and smoke crack, and marry Kelly Bundy and get clean and sober. And that's the reward for getting clean and sober in L.A. is you get to marry Kelly Bundy, man.
right. Is the Feinsteinery over?
We're going to the market. Here we go.
Worms. Friends.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Worms, 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 worms. Worms down a K-hole.
You'll never find him there.
So,
they'll be hiding in all the plaid.
So somebody wrote me and said, you know, people should boycott the boss that fired that lady over her tweet. And I was like, well, the one thing I forgot to say was that she was, her job was like director of viral marketing at some company. So she should have known better. But yeah. So the topic is ketamine and K-holes. Jeremy is like, I would never do crack. Let's talk about ketamine. I had upstairs neighbors in San Francisco that were ketamine addicts, British ravers who put on raves and would like, when they weren't raving, they would bring their sound system home and set it up in the apartment above us, like a club sound system, and play rave music for 72 hours and shoot ketamine. I watched him through the window one time shooting ketamine on the fire escape. I was going on the fire escape to drink beer on the roof, and I stopped, and I saw these two skinny, weird, dreadlocked white people, like, trying to find a vein shooting ketamine, which is an animal tranquilizer like PCP that's also psychedelic. You know, there used to be a drug in San Jose, California, called Space Base, which to me sounds like... well, you know, crocodile is the scariest drug from the user standpoint, but Space Base sounds like the scariest drug from the community standpoint. It's a mixture of PCP and crack. Whoa. And it was used by, like, Vato gangbangers in San Jose to, like, get up the nerve to go hunt humans for sport and target practice.
Nice.
Space Base. So, Jeremy, tell me about your K-holes. What is a K-hole? Oh, I wanted to say, before we get into K-holes, ketamine is also, I mean, this sounds like some wild, crazy drug that, you know, should never be legal for anything, I'm sure people are thinking, but it's like, this is actually on the list of, like, top 100 drugs that, like, any medical system has to have. You know, there's this list, like the World Health Organization. It's like, you know, antibiotics, painkillers, you know, things that'll stop a heart attack. It's like, what's in the crash cart when they say, code blue, bring the crash cart. What's in a crash cart is, like, one or two doses each of loaded syringes of these, like, 50 or 100 drugs. And some equipment, some basic equipment. Like if you're doing Doctors Without Borders in the middle of the jungle, you've got these 50 drugs kind of thing. And ketamine is actually used also in the military for field surgery because, unlike most other anesthetics, it doesn't depress your respiration. So you don't need to have a CPAP mask on someone to use it, like with other stuff. But it's being used now for asthma, for severe asthma, status asthmaticus, which I have. And I'm thinking, like, no, I don't want to be on it. It's actually not.
We got Michael off the prednisone. Like, we're going to put him on the
ketamine. How is this going to affect your bungus?
My bungus is gone, man, because of one of the modern drugs that's on that list. The antibiotic they gave me is on that list. All right.
Will this new drug affect your bungus fungus?
No, K-holes. And then we can segue into Cops on Crack and the name of the show. Which
covered
is,
it.
Okay, go ahead. We're segueing out of it late. Go ahead, K-holes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the ravers in the apartment above you, because apparently that's a trend. That's how I actually found it. I had a friend who was a DJ and a raver, and it was his favorite.
These guys were the worst neighbors I've ever had. And after they got kicked out, we went up and looked at their apartment, and it was like, they had kids, like babies too. And there was like, they'd taken diapers full of baby poop and wiped them on the walls and done art with them. I mean, this was really, and there were like panties and underwear and ripped up clothing everywhere, like broken glass. I mean, there was like 6 inches of debris, of human filth and debris on the floor in every room. Ketamine. It's a hell of a drug. All right, go on. Yeah, yeah, I don't think I want to be on that for asthma.
Yeah, well, I would assume they would give you a low dose for that.
My house is nice.
My house. Well, I never did any damage. From what the stories I was told, because I don't exactly remember the entire experience, but I would usually find myself a corner and do a headstand and start walking up the wall and just stay there for an hour or two. So, never hurt anybody.
Hey, if Ian Freeman's listening, LRN is down. And if you're listening on the, we should have an option, I think, on the next version of the Fiend Android app for a backup. You could listen on the GCN feed, because that's up sometimes, because LRN takes from that, so it's never down. All right, so go on. K-holes.
Yes. So they're interesting. I don't know how far down this hole we want to go.
How deep in the rabbit hole do you want to go?
Well, my rabbit hole has always ended up in a plaid. I don't know why everything was plaid. You remember, what were those pants called back in the 80s? Those giant
punk rock plaid pants,
pajamas.
You know what I used
to
see?
Like pajamas, not Skechers, Skids.
When I was tripping, but when I was tripping, I used to see. I never saw hallucinations. Like, I never saw the blue bunny standing in the corner, but I would see, like, I would look at a wall really closely, and it would look kind of like the paint was dripping really slowly, like an inch a minute. And then I would also see these symmetrical four-way images that kind of looked like the cover of the Kiss record. I think it's called Heaven and Hell or something. No, it's Black Sabbath. No, but there's a Kiss record that's like the four of them pointing the four points of a compass, kind of diamondy shapes. I would see that in everything. Not Kiss necessarily, but that kind of thing. And I would see watermarks in paper that didn't have any.
Interesting.
Go on.
Yeah, I just, well, when it came to ketamine, all I ever saw, I mentioned the Skids, because at one point I recall owning a pair of pink Skids, which were just giant, basically parachute pants back in like the mid-80s, late 80s. But there was this pair of pants I had that was this pink plaid with just different stripes in it. And that's what I would see every time. Didn't matter where I was, what time of day it was. I would just slip into it and everything would turn into this crazy plaid thing. And I would just be on a never-ending slide just going through colors. Kind of cool. But, I mean, I've done...
Kids, don't try this at home.
No,
we're better now.
I recommend it. At least we're better supervised.
Now. Yes, but it should be legal, and it should be 7 cents a dose, and available at Walmart.
Swallowing colors is the sounds I hear.
It should probably be available in Walmart, but a separate aisle from the sugar and salt to avoid confusion.
Yeah, that'll measure
the price tag should handle that.
Yeah,
you think? But.
No, it's gonna be the same price, man. It's gonna like heroin is gonna be like $7 a pound. Well, that's more than sugar, but
yeah,
it'll be like $70 a pound probably. In libertarian paradise. Hey, Obama's going to Cuba. You know, I think at this point he's just doing stuff to piss off the right. I mean, why not go to Cuba? And really, like, there never should have been a blockade on Cuba, and it should have been gone long ago. But
sounds like you hate America.
He's just doing stuff to piss off right wingers now, I think.
Look, this embargo of Cuba hasn't even been going on for 60 years yet, or has it? Look, you gotta give it time to work.
Hey, listen to this. Southern Poverty Law Center says extremist groups have thrived in the United States last year. And they've got a picture of people waving American flags in this and the Southern flag. But I think the next version of the Fiends app should have a button to report the Fiends to the Southern Poverty Law Center. What do you guys think?
Oh, my gosh.
I want to be reported to the Soviet Policy Lie Center.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'll do it. I'll seriously do it.
Why not? I'm sure people want to report us anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because we have friends that are on their hate list and we're not on there, and I'm jealous. Like Michael Badnerick from the 10th Amendment Center, and like I think there's one other like LRN host that's on their list, but I know Sheriff Mack's on their list, and he's in the Guns and Weed movie.
Badnerick isn't with the 10th Amendment Center, I don't think. Where is he?
Yeah, that was. He was the politician.
He's just a regular constitutional licker.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, he's mild compared to us. How's he get to be in there?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you
think? He must know somebody. It must be that constitutional privilege.
They're against people that spout stuff about the Constitution, though, I think, anyway. So that was probably why he's on that list. They don't like people like
that. Yeah, anybody that celebrates the document that formed the government and the United States of America is a terrorist. Really?
Yes.
They hate the government, but they love the government.
Yeah.
I hate the government, but I love the Constitution that created it.
All right, guys, I'm going to go. Have a good show. Thank you for your service. Bye.
About time. Thank you. Bye. See you later, Michael.
Bye.
So where were we? Oh. My dogs are awake, apparently.
K-holes. And, no, that's not right.
Okay. Do we want to get back? Do we want to get back to the article and get away from Jeremy's K-hole or whatever?
His pink plaid pants.
Yeah, his pink plaid skid mark pants.
Yeah, let's get away from that.
So, all right, Lisa, do you have a spot where you want to jump in at on this article? Get back to that.
I think we were done with that article. We talked about the video. And, I think we kind of covered this.
I think there was
what do you think, Jeremy? You read it?
I was trying to,
did you want to add anything?
It has the 5 points of why people do this. But the last one is it, to me, it makes a lot of sense. The number one thing they point out is that most people fall into their group by accident. So it's not like they choose this, you know. It just kind of happens. like the whole white thing. People get up in arms if somebody wants to proclaim their whiteness, but it's like, well, you didn't have anything to do with that. That was just an accident of birth.
Hey, being born a certain color in a certain place is the greatest accomplishment of my lifetime.
Oh, yes, you're right. Nationalism, taking pride in things you had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
No, rest of my life has been so mundane. Being born somewhere literally is my greatest accomplishment.
Oh, that's just sad.
Well, what can I say? I spent a number of years in the military, so didn't accomplish anything there. Certainly didn't defend freedom.
This is true.
So I'll probably get some hate mail for that one. But anywho. All right, so do we have anything else that we want to discuss with this particular article here? Anything?
No
ideas.
But if people want to go to it, I would highly encourage at least going to the very end and watching the video of the little baby goat butting its head against the mirror.
That was actually, a nice conclusion.
You can take that as a metaphor for dealing with status most of the time, because that's what it feels like.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is my life right here. This little goat right here.
Hamster in your brain are listening. But that's
how they end the article,
Michael,
right?
Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
You're Speed Yak Emperor.
I'm not calling him that. I'm not calling that little punk juvenile delinquent that name. I'm not even using those words in the same sentence. I don't even care if they're connected or not. I'm not calling him that.
Well, come on.
Hey, welcome back to the Family Feud Fiends.
we're gonna make him shirts. We're gonna have it with a big cape with that on the back when he rides in on Yak back to Pork Fest. It's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah, no. So anyway, all right. So It looks like Apple did something that is pretty good. Apparently, the FBI has been asking them to break into all the phones and everything else, and apparently they've refused. I'm going to be a little bit skeptical. I don't know if they have absolutely refused to cooperate 100% with the government. It would be nice if they had refused. There's always a possibility that some programmer or something like that was bought off or blackmailed, because government is pretty famous for doing that sort of thing. So at its face, apparently Apple stood up to government and said no. And if this is true, then Apple has done more to protect the privacy of everyday Americans. They've done more than every voter, politician, activist, petitioner, and status bootlicker marching around a government building waving the government's flag combined.
Yeah, well, I hate to have to agree with you, but yeah, you're right. You can't really know if they're totally on the up and up. I mean, because all those stories that came out with Snowden originally, a lot of those companies tried to claim that they were, oh no, we didn't do anything, and then you find out later, oh well, no, they kind of let a back door here and there. But hopefully they're being truthful about it. I think I saw something else today that said the CEO of Google said something now that Apple has gone public with this, and that they're claiming that they're going to follow suit. Again, I don't know how much I believe that, because they've been willing to work with them in the past. So
yeah, now part of what's going on is I guess the FBI has not been able to break into the iPhone of the one or both of the San Bernardino shooters from a while back. Mm-hmm. So apparently, rather than just taking that phone and saying, hey, could you open up this phone, the FBI wants Apple to create a backdoor into every single phone. So you have the typical, well, it's for our safety. If you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. Status bootlickers out there. And they're saying, you know, we need to defend against terrorism and all this other crap. And, you know, so that's why they need to look at every single person's phone. No, we don't need that. But anyway, so apparently the defenders are saying that this is leaving us vulnerable to terrorism, but it's, you know, casting that big giant net over everybody instead of over, you know, people that should be cast over.
Well, sure. It's the one-size-fits-all mentality of government.
Yeah.
Why try to solve a problem when you can claim you're solving a problem and just create more that you're going to have to claim you can solve later?
Yeah, and of course Trump has come out supporting the FBI and being opposed to Apple for them saying that they're not going to help out, that they're not going to allow the FBI to break into every single phone. So, all right, well, thanks everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Warriors.